Hey everyone, you're listening to Reina's podcast. My podcast is for entrepreneurs to find motivation, resources, and business tips. The entrepreneur journey is not easy, but I hope that this podcast can encourage you to keep going and to remind you que si se puede. Hey everyone, I am here with Lorena Inez, such an incredible friend and also Latina Lifestyle Legacy member. And she has an incredible story that I'm really excited for her to share.
Thank you so much, Reina, for having me. Honestly, I'm really excited. It's been a journey and I'm just really glad that you asked me because I think you're such an amazing person to share this experience with your audience. I feel like it's going to be also very therapeutic for me. So thank you so much.
Yay. I'm so glad. And I want to just start off with some icebreaker questions. So the first question that I want to ask is, what is the latest book that you're reading currently or the last book you read?
Okay, so today I actually started a book you recommended. I started reading I Am Diosa. I'm really excited because I know there's other women in our group that were talking about how good and intense this book is. Mm-hmm. So I just started like the first 2-3 pages today. I'm excited. So that's what I'm currently reading now.
Yay. And what made you want to start that book? Because Latina Lifestyle Legacy, which, you know, for people that don't know, it's like the course that I created in the community that I created. And one of the modules talks about personal development. And I listed out a whole bunch of books and a whole bunch of people, you know, they can read whichever book, but that book is getting a lot of attention. And I'm curious to know, why did you decide to start on that one?
There's just a lot that I feel I still need to achieve that I still haven't been able to. One of the things that I've mentioned is that I feel like I've always been fighting with my own demon. And there's a lot of healing that has to continue for me. And I would constantly hear you talk about how intense and healing it was for you to read this book. So I just thought like, hey, what better book than to read that my own mentor, you know, recommending. So that's honestly what pushed me to get the book. Because yeah. I was just like, there's just so much healing I still have to go through. And listening to you talk about it, I was just like, oh, I gotta read it. Like every time you would talk about it, I was like, I have to read it. So the first chance I actually got to order it, I ordered it and I received it like 2 weeks ago, but I was kind of like busy with other things. Mm-hmm. So today I just did a little to-do list and that was on my list today to at least get to the first few pages. So I started today.
Yay. Yeah, that's a really good book for those people who haven't read it. It's very intense. And usually I love to read like very real estate investing books, business books, but this one's really like about healing and just healing past traumas. And so it's like a different style for me, but it's pretty good. So, all right, next question. What is one important skill every person should have?
I think that everyone should have, like, the one skill I would say is self-awareness.
Mm.
I think that, you know, sometimes we're not aware, like, of what's going on, you know? And I just think it's such an amazing skill. If I had to choose just one, it would be that. And it's something I've been mastering within the last year. And it's just honestly changed like my life. It's really changing it.
Why do you think self-awareness is an important skill to have? And how have you been like trying to master it?
Well, for me, I mean, everybody's going to have like their own definition, you know, but for me, like the self-awareness was knowing, like, I've always felt like a puzzle ever since I was a child. You know, I would go back to a certain memory or whenever I would act a certain way, I always knew it was deeper. I knew I wasn't really fighting about what I was what was on the surface, you know? I knew it was like deep rooted. So being self-aware taught me, and you know, how to really connect things, how to really get down and like do all the dirty work, how to unlearn things. So throughout this whole year, like during the pandemic, it was one of my hardest years, like one of my hardest years. And it's just been really challenging. But honestly, I think that being surrounded by the right people in the right groups, you know, it's really helped me just continue that self-awareness journey.
I love that. I wasn't expecting you to answer with that. I thought you were going to say financial, but that's obviously really important. And I know you'll share more about that, but I love the self-awareness. And I think that like you need self-awareness to change and create, like, right, and to better yourself, to be aware, hey, this is something that that I need to work on. So I love that answer. And my last icebreaker question, icebreakers are supposed to be like one, but I love icebreaker questions. What was the best thing that happened to you, whether it was this weekend or this month or this year?
Okay, so I'm going to go with this weekend. I'm going to really go into it when I really start talking about my financial journey. But I've been very vocal in our group that I've struggled a lot with my partner to be able to find like a good communication between us when it comes to money. It's always been like a really intense and rough topic to really speak about. And I feel like I finally mastered it. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, just like a few days ago, like I was kind of nervous, but honestly, like this podcast kept motivating me. Like I have to, how can I go on here and talk about something when I can't, you know, I can't really master having this great communication with my boyfriend. And I feel like we finally came up with a plan where we're both seeing each other eye to eye, like really respecting each other's ideas, you know? So, I mean, we might have a few times where we might disagree with things, but honestly, it feels like we have a very solid foundation now.
Yes. And you've been definitely manifesting this and putting in the work and making sure that both of you like align. So I'm super excited. I know you're going to dive deeper into it, but I'm excited to hear more about that because you have been, that was a big part of you sharing in the Latina Lifestyle Legacy group. And I'm very grateful that you were vulnerable enough to share, because I'm sure there's a lot of partners and couples out there that's something that is really important and it doesn't get talked about. So, but money is extremely, extremely important. And I know both the, you know, you guys have kids together. So it's definitely important to discuss about. So, but I want to get started. I want to also like kind of just open it up also with sharing a little bit about who you are, where did you grow up in the area and things like that.
So I was born and raised in East LA. I lived there up to the age of 14 until my parents bought their first home in Boyle Heights. And then I lived there until I moved out when I had my first baby. So I'm from East LA. I'm from a community. I come from a community of Hispanics and Latinos, Latinx. So yeah, that's where I was born from.
Nice. I love that. And do you come from a big family?
Yes. So I come from a family of six. Both of my parents migrated here from Mexico. And we're just a big family. Most of my family from my mom's side is in Mexico. And I want to say like just my dad's siblings are all here in the United States. But my family's big all around.
I know. We're a family of six too. So we definitely, and you are in what order are you in?
I'm the second oldest.
The second oldest. Okay, cool. And so share a little bit about what your passions are, what you do.
I used to be a makeup artist. I am still very passionate about makeup. That is something I am manifesting at the time. I am not working in the industry. I was a few years ago for film, but I am manifesting that I'm going to get back out there. I am currently testing with photographers, testing with models, trying to master my skills again. And I plan to take the rest of the summer to continue to do that and really like just push myself. Like I have a goal to meet by the end of the summer. So I'm really trying to focus on that goal and just be the very best version of myself. Like I keep saying, like, I want a Vogue cover. So I'm going to push myself and I'm going to get there. I am going to get there.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Yes, you will. And I'm like so proud of you for, you know, Vogue cover. Like it's a big goal, but I have like no doubt that I feel like you, Lorena, are somebody who you put a goal and like you're gonna do whatever it takes to accomplish it, right? And so what, like share, I know you kind of brushed off of like film, but that's huge. Like that you, how, like share a little bit about that experience and why you are transitioning to mainly, well, just kind of going into a different type of field, right?
Yes. So I attended a makeup academy in Downey. So shout out to my teacher, Angie, if you're listening.
Hey, Angie.
She's a pretty amazing makeup artist. She taught me everything in the industry. She actually referred me to a job when I was still a student. And that job was for a director. I didn't know at the time. I just took the job. I was a student. I really didn't have enough knowledge. I was just kind of getting my feet wet, you know? So I went, I did the job, and I happened to work with one of the writers for Jane the Virgin. I didn't know then because he wasn't writing for Jane the Virgin at the time. He's actually the one that opened a lot of doors for me because he continued to call me. And from there, it's just like, it was just referral. It was job after job after job. And it started with like student films. And from then it was like little indies and small budgets. I was just saying yes to everything. You know, I was just saying yes to everything. I was trying to really understand film because it can be kind of tricky, especially when you don't go under someone. Mm-hmm. You don't know certain things, so you're learning along the job. And eventually, I started to assist like bigger makeup artists. I started to assist their makeup artists and they opened a lot of doors for me. And I just really started to like love it. And I've said this before, if I was single with no children, I would probably be doing that. But it is just a career for someone that's single because you don't really have the time for a family. You know, I used to wake up when my children were asleep and I would come back home when my children were asleep. So it was just pretty rough, you know, for somebody with a family. So if I wasn't, and if I didn't have a family, that's what I most likely would be doing.
Yeah. And you've been, so now you're transitioning to, so you took a break, you know, you're being mom and, but now you're ready to go back. And what's different now?
So I actually left a pretty important part. During the time that I was actually doing film, I'm not going to mention like any names and I'm not going to bring up any films or anything, but I worked in pretty uncomfortable like sets with directors that I felt like were looking down on me a lot because of the color of my skin. Mm-hmm. So I would work a lot harder. Like I just I didn't have room to mess up. Like if somebody was doing something at 100%, I had to do it at 200%, you know? So just like not being able to see myself on set, not being able to see myself with other artists, with other crew members, actually is what pushed me to want like more representation for our community. And I started to think like, okay, like we are also beautiful. There's so much beauty within our community and we are so missed, like underrepresented, you know? So I was just like, there has to be like another gate somewhere and there has to be like another way. So I have had this in my mind for years already. And I keep talking about it and I keep talking about it. And honestly, I've been too scared to like take the second step. I think there's a lot of fear instilled in me that I am still working on defeating, you know? So I decided like the one thing I always wanted to do as a child that I don't know why, like my dream just kind of died down was be in the fashion industry, like being like part of the crew, like the back, you know, the in the background. So I just kept thinking like, what is something you really love? And I've always loved makeup. So I just thought like, you know, that I see like so much beauty in us and I would want to be able to work with more people that look like me, more brown people, you know? And I just really started to think like, I'm gonna get up there. And print is really where I see myself. Like being in advertising, mostly I see myself in the beauty, but I would wanna do some advertising too. And I would wanna work where I can have the freedom to really push myself and have the option to work with the people I want to, you know?
I love that. And definitely representation. And I love that you talked about that and how I'm sure it's, and I feel like, you know, it's kind of barely like, we still have so much more work to be done, but I feel like I honestly feel like with the whole George Floyd, you know, incident and everything, like it really opened up people's eyes to bring in more diversity, but that's not like a lot of Latino representation, right? So I really think there, and I always say to myself, if there's something that you feel like you're just like, this is like, it's lacking or something's lacking, or there's not a community there out there for you, like then it's why create one, right? Like then that means there's a need, and I'm sure you're not like the only person that feels that way. So right now with your, you know, that's the goal that you have set for yourself. I'm kind of curious to know what was like the biggest challenge in being in this type of industry and how did you overcome it?
My biggest challenge was feeling like I wasn't good enough, like kind of that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, and like also it didn't help that there was people like in the director chairs looking down on me. And for me, the way that I overcame it was working really hard. I felt like I had to prove to myself and to them that I was more than capable of doing mm-hmm. these things. So I was, if my call time was 5, I was getting there at 4. Like I was just making sure that everything I needed was there and like having my setup and just like making sure everything was spotless, perfect, clean, you know? And so I was really putting in the work, and I know that they noticed because I had an experience with this director that he just kept like making little remarks about me. And I could just, you know, you feel it. Like you feel when somebody doesn't like you, you feel. And I felt that it was the color of my skin. I was the shortest person on the entire crew, you know, and I just.
How tall are you?
I'm 4'11".
Oh, yeah, she's so short.
And I just felt like very intimidated at times you know, so I know he noticed because it was the last day that I'm never gonna forget. It was the last day that we were filming and I didn't have any help and I was running back and forth. And that last day he stepped up and he was so freaking amazing. Like he was my assistant for the day. I remember him asking me, tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. I see you. Tell me what you need. So yeah. I would tell him, he would run off, grab what I needed. And I was just working. And I felt like he was in my sight. Like I felt like, oh my God, mm-hmm. he sees me. He gets me. Like he's seeing I'm doing all the work. You know, so it was then when I realized like, oh my God, like I can do this.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, you can do this. And I just kept telling myself, like, I can really have a career here. Like, that's what honestly pushed me to be like, oh my God, I can do this. You know, all the self-doubt, because I would constantly walk in with so much self-doubt. But it was that specific experience that I was just like, I can do this. There's no way in hell no one can tell me that I am not capable of doing this because I just showed it to myself. Mm-hmm. And I remember leaving so proud. And the last thing he told me was like, hey, you did really good today. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling so proud, like, oh my God. Like, I remember walking in and feeling like so scared, like having so much doubt, even shame of being there, you know? And
it's like the biggest imposter syndrome ever. That you're like, do I belong here? Like, are they sure? And if people don't know what imposter syndrome is, like, I guess in the most basic way that I can explain it, it's feeling like a fraud in a way that even though you got that position, you got that award, you got that recognition or something, or that raise, but you feel like this, like you're not even worth, you don't even feel worthy of being there, or you're confused that why they gave it to you. But in reality, like you deserved it. And honestly, you're in a very competitive industry, right? And so I'm sure it's a very competitive industry in general, and in like anything, you have to prove yourself, right? And so I think it's definitely a great lesson on how you showed up. And even if it was the last day, like you got his respect, you know?
Yes.
And that's like, and once you get somebody's respect and yeah, like they just like, they respect you and your work. It's awesome. And it's like, it's really hard to lose that. But to gain it is also very hard too. So, but okay. And so you decided to leave the industry because of like your family?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was honestly, it was like a mixture of things. Like honestly, like constantly walking into set and like having to feel like I had to prove to everyone on set.
It's exhausting.
It was honestly exhausting. It was draining. That was honestly like my biggest, I feel like that's what made me leave, honestly, because mm-hmm. I was just drained. Mm-hmm. At the end, I was honestly drained. Like mm-hmm. I was doing mostly men grooming at the end. And I remember walking in set and like hating being there. Like I would just get there and I felt like I was on like this autopilot. Mm-hmm. Like I was just there doing my job. There was just like no more passion left in me. And I was just there. I would get the job done. And sometimes I knew I was doing a terrible job, but I didn't care anymore. I was just like, okay, whatever, throw them in, you know, and I would just kind of do it, get them done. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the continuity in these films didn't like align correctly, because my heart was just not in it anymore. It was that. And like anybody that knows me knows that I always put my children first. For me, it's my children first. Like there's a list and it's my children always first. So I wasn't seeing my kids a lot. It was really affecting me. So that mixed with not feeling appreciated you know, going on every set and feeling like I constantly had to prove myself because I was the only little brown girl on set, made me feel like it was just not worth it for me anymore. So I was very, very drained. I was done. Honestly, at the end, I was just taking the paychecks, going in and not really enjoying it anymore. I wasn't really even doing it because I loved it. I was just kind of like, whatever, I'm just here to collect my check and I gotta leave.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I was. And I felt like, I don't know how to describe it, but even my feet felt heavy. My back was always constantly hurting me. My feet felt really heavy.
Wow.
So being there, I just felt like, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. Like, I just couldn't concentrate anymore. And I would do something bad and I would feel really bad. Like, why are you here? You're not even doing a good job. And I would carry that guilt for days and days and days.
Oh my gosh, Lauren.
Yeah.
I feel like that was something that you would mention. Because how we met too is you would always go to like my workshops that I would host. And you're really like quiet and kind of shy and just, but you were there, right? And I'd be like, okay, like this is all, you'd always show up. And I feel like I know one of the biggest things was like the negative self-talk that you would do towards yourself. And you know, sometimes we're like our own biggest critics. And I myself, like, I have to work on that too, because I can think of, I'm like, why am I so hard on myself? But on other girls or other people, I'm like, yes, like, it's okay. Like, you got this, you know, people. And then when it comes to us, we're like, what were you doing? Like, what, you know, like all of these things. And, but I feel like you've grown so much. And I know another big, 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 like, topic that, and just part of your life that you've been also improving on is your finances. And I definitely wanted to like touch on that because I think that's a big accomplishment. And I want you to like share a little bit about that journey.
So, okay, my story for my finances is pretty deep. Like, I actually used to think it was just like me not knowing how to manage my money. You know, but today I actually learned that it's deeper than that. It's actually very connected to my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I started to kind of write my thoughts out in paper because I wanted to make sure I was as organized as possible and to just make sure that I was, you know, keeping up with everything. I wasn't leaving any information out and I wasn't just talking. And sometimes, you know, the time just starts running out. So I started to really take the time to organize my thoughts. And it was actually really intense. I had a moment where I was just like, whoa, like this is connected to my childhood. And I actually had never realized how deep rooted my problem with finances is. When I thought my problems with finances started was when about a year ago, actually not a year ago, about 7 years ago when my boyfriend and I bought our home. I thought that's when my financial debt started, but I was completely wrong. When I started to really write down everything, I was just like, how is this connected in so many different levels? And just to kind of go a little back, like I mentioned before, my parents might.
Yes, girl, take us back. Take us back. Like, I'm curious to know because just, you know, reminder, like people, like you're not the only one, I'm sure. And people are going through this. And I'm a big advocate in Latinos, like talking about money. Like, let's talk about this topic, you know, because a lot of times it's very like hush, hush. Like, don't talk about. Just don't talk about that. But even though we use it every single day and it's like a necessity. So yeah, take us back.
Okay. So I had like a pretty rough childhood and my parents, like I mentioned before, they migrated here from Mexico and they kind of just fell into this survival mode, you know, just they fell into the survival mode, trying to accomplish the American dream, but they went into straight survival. And my sister and I, my older sister and I, are the eldest in our family. So we just naturally fell into the role of helping my parents take care of the family. So for us, that meant like working at a really young age. And since I was 14, I worked, I paid my mom rent. Like I was paying everything I owned, from like my clothing to my shoes, didn't come from my mom. It came from me at a very young age. But I was still paying her rent. And when we could, we would help my mom out with bills as well. So they just fell into their parents' footsteps. Like, I'm not even looking to like place blame to them. I think they did the best that they could with what they had. And they just fell into the footsteps of their parents.
Yeah, because in Mexico, it's like you start working at 9, yeah. 10, like, it's not, you don't go to school very long. I know my dad, he had to drop out of school because, and then over there, you got to like take tests to go to the next level. And well, how are you going to pass the test? My dad's like, he's like, I would go and take the test and no pasaba because he wasn't in school the whole year. So they would just keep him there. You know? They just
keep him there. Yeah.
So they instilled that and they like kind of continued that.
Yeah, so it just kind of continued. And, you know, there was just, my mom would always had a really unhealthy relationship with money. Like there was never enough, like there was just never enough. So being really young and always giving paying rent and having to be stressed out about how are we going to pay for this now and constantly hearing there isn't enough is what created my unhealthy relationship with money. You know, I just wouldn't even question it. I was a child. I would just hand over most of my paycheck to her, you know, and I wouldn't question how much money she was taking. And I was just like, okay, whatever. I'm just happy with the $100 you're giving me, you know. And I just was happy with what I was receiving. But I don't think I realized that that actually contributed until today that I really started to dig deeper. That how much it contributed to this unhealthy lifestyle with money, you know? And I've never really had anyone take care of me financially until my boyfriend and I moved in together. My boyfriend is amazing. I can't say enough good things about him, but the one problem he has is that he can never tell me no. If he does not have it, he will find a way to get it. And for him, like, it's just, if he can't get it, I think he feels like a sense of guilt, like, because he feels like he's responsible for us. So my mistake was just being a happy passenger, like never trying to discuss finances with him. And he just took the role of, you know, like giving, like, I just want to keep her happy. So, you know, we bought our home 7 years ago and we slowly started to like open a credit card here, open a credit card there. And, you know, when you are a homeowner, it comes with another set of responsibilities. Like when something breaks, you need to fix it, you know? So there was just a lot of repairs our home needed. And we just, I don't know, I just never really put that into account. I never really felt like I should be making a sinking fund for anything that breaks in our home. I had no idea. I was terrible with numbers. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't think I had to be honest. So we are both guilty, him of not sharing and me not wanting to. No, you know, so it wasn't until last year that we were fighting a lot. We were fighting right before the pandemic. We were already fighting a lot. And we were just fighting like left and right. Like I would ask them for something and it was a hassle. Like it was just a hassle to get anything. We needed to replace something. We needed to get the kids something. It was just too much of a hassle. We were fighting so much. And he was starting to throw things in my face, like when it came with money. So I was starting to get tired of it. Like I think I need to go back to work. You know, I kept thinking, I think I need to get back to work. Like, I'm so tired of this. And the pandemic started, you know, so I was just like, oh, this is not going to be a good time for me to go back. So he asked me to open like a card, actually online. I already had a card from Target, but he asked me if he can use it. He's like, we don't know what's going to happen, so we need to use it. Let's try and keep all the cash we have and let's just get everything on credit. So I was like, okay. So I just went with it, you know? So that was like right as soon as the pandemic started. Everything was so crazy during the first week. Everything was sold out. Everything was overpriced. So I just kept swiping that card thinking like, money's never going to run out. Like, I'm going to be fine. And the problems just kept getting worse and worse and worse. So finally in the summer, I was just like, I've had enough. Like, we need to sit down and really go over everything and figure out what is it that we need to pay off or what is it. So, oh my God, Reina, I remember sitting down with him and like there was a stack this thick of stuff. And I was just kind of like, okay, we don't really need those many papers. You know, I was just so confused. And once I started to open, and it was just like credit card statement after credit card statement. Oh my gosh. Everything was past due. I was just like, oh my God. You know, I started to feel overwhelmed. And it actually took us about, I want to say like 2 weeks to really like add everything up, because I would have to stop. I would feel really overwhelmed and I would start getting like major anxiety. So it just kind of like, I don't know, it was just really hard. By the time that I opened every single credit card statement and I started to add everything up and I got to $100,000 in debt, I cried. I felt betrayed. I felt really betrayed by my partner. I felt super betrayed. Like, how can you not share this with me? I was angry. I was hurt. And I am going to be honest, I blamed him. In the beginning, I really like was very resentful. I blamed him. And I think it's just easier to blame the person that you feel is responsible because you don't want to look at your own choices that you've made, you know? And like, I know now I was just as guilty as he was because there was signs and I just kept ignoring them. I kept ignoring them and I just kept thinking like, oh, I'm just comfortable. Like I never knew what it was to be taken care of this way. So I just felt so comfortable being taken care of. All my life, I've taken care of my family. So it just felt good to have someone take care of me. So when I found out, I was just like, oh my God. I think I went into like some major depression. Like, I've always battled with depression. I think it wasn't until like, I want to say maybe like 6 months that I felt like finally I'm starting to have like a better life. You know, I don't feel so sad, but I've always dealt with depression. So I think there I had like 2 weeks where I just crawled under a rock and I stayed there. Like, I just didn't see like an end like to this. And I kept questioning everything. How did we build this much debt? So I was really sad. I was heartbroken. And my partner had this opportunity to leave to Pittsburgh and go take the job there. And just, I thought it was a good opportunity. It was hard, Reina. It was really hard because like a year ago, my family and I have had like a really strained relationship. And this year has been the year that I've let go of a lot of my family members. I love my family, even my mom. And I knew for a long time that we kind of had to go our separate ways because it was just too unhealthy for me now. It was really affecting my mental health. So, it was just really hard. Like, the only solid foundation I had was my partner. You know, like, he treated me really well. Like, he's a good person. And I just knew it was time for him to go get that job and start in our financial journey. So it was hard for me not to have no one. Like, I hate asking people for things. If mm-hmm. I can do it, I'm going to find a way to do it. So I hate asking for people to, for things from people, but not having my family to rely on was even harder. Yeah. And so when I asked him to take the job, like, I think we were both scared. He was hesitant because he's also very protective. So I think he was scared, like, if I leave and if something happens, it's not going to be like a 20-minute drive. You know, he's on the other side of the country. So he ended up telling me, like, what if I can't even travel because of the pandemic? What if your state goes into lockdown? What if our state? So we just both decided, you know what, this is what we need to do and we're going to get it done. So he ends up leaving to Pittsburgh. And I still remember, it's so crazy the way the universe works. I was so scared. I didn't have a dime to my name. Like, I had nothing. And I remember he had, like, I think $100 on him when he left. Like, he just had enough money to buy his ticket. And he just had, like, $100. And I remember he was, like, shitting it. Like, how am I supposed to leave and not leave you guys any money? And I have this habit of every time, like, my children or I have a party, like, or it's someone's birthday and I receive something, I think it's really personal if I read, like, the birthday cards out loud, or if we're opening presents and I show people how much money people are giving me. So I always put the cards aside, and I was going in my room, going through the letters, just kind of like trying to find something cheerful. And I found actually a birthday gift for me of, it was cash. It was $300. So I was like, oh my God, this is how I'm going to do it when he's gone. Like, I'm going to manage. You know, I had been listening to the Budget Mom. I had been following her for a while. So I had been listening to her, and I was just like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to master it. So I gave myself a $150 meal planning budget. And I hate cooking. Well, not anymore, but I hated cooking. So I would eat out a lot. And my thing was, like, once I added the cost of how much money I was spending eating out, I realized, like, you know, you're part of the problem. You are part of the problem. You don't want to cook at home. You're eating out. You can't afford to. This is why you're in debt, you know? So I started to cook. I gave myself that budget. And I was always under. I would always spend like $110, $120. So I would pretend like I was wasting that money. So if I had like $150 budget and I would spend the $110, I would take those $40 and put it into a sinking fund. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I was doing. So every week I was not spending, I would even challenge myself, like, you can go lower. Like, if you save $40, next week try to save $50. So I would, like, really challenge myself, you know, to continue to stay within that budget. And honestly, like, it also helped us to be able to have the chance to put some of our payments on hold. With the pandemic, we had that option. So all that money that we were supposed to be making to these cards, we used it all. We started paying off, like, cards, our credit cards. So what we did first is, there's two methods. There's the avalanche method and there's the snowball method. The snowball method is when you pay your credit cards from smallest to biggest. So the one with the smallest portion, you pay off first, and then you keep going until you pay your biggest one. And the avalanche method is when you pay off your highest interest credit card. So I decided to first do the snowball, because we just had so many credit cards that it was just easier for me to remove as many as we could. So we were able to pay off, like, the first three we paid off, there were small credit cards, like $200, $300, $500. So we were able to pay those off. But once we paid them off, I started to realize how much all those small payments were contributing to making like this, you know, this big amount at expenses every month. So we started off with that method first, and then I sat down and revised like our plans a month later. And actually it made me so angry when I started to realize how much interest we were paying. Yeah. Like the interest was no joke.
That's like the method I use, because I'm like, the interest is ridiculous. Like when you actually look at your statement and you see the amount of it, like just extra money you're basically throwing away, I'm like, no, forget the snowball method.
Yeah,
no. We are doing the highest interest first, because then technically you will, and those are the ones that they like to, like once you're paying it off, they like to really lower down your minimum payment. So it's just like, it's like you're going to take years to pay it off.
Pay it off, yeah. And so I was just like, oh my God, once I added all of that, and I was just like, this is just too much. Like, we could have already finished paying this off. I'm giving away all this free money. And that's when I told him, like, you know what, we're going to do it this way now. So he was like really on board. It was just like so much more easier. And honestly, I think I was so stressed out. Like, oh my God, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to school my children, be at home with them, cook and clean, and be able to like keep my mind sane and then do the bills on top of it? And I was just like super stressed out. But honestly, Reina, like learning my numbers and mastering my numbers was so easy for me. Like, I am terrible with numbers. And I'm serious when I say I'm terrible with numbers. If you freaking throw some numbers at me, I'm going to look so confused. And I'm just going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But once I really sat down and added everything, and like, you really understand your paycheck, how much you're bringing in home. Like for us, we were getting, my boyfriend was getting paid every week. So for us, it was Fridays, and I would write it down in our calendar, and I knew what had to be paid next. I knew what, and for me, it became like a game, like, okay, I'm going to pay this off and I'm going to pay that off. And this month we have extra to pay an extra payment here. So we just started knocking down our credit cards. We started to knock down our credit cards. He came back for Thanksgiving for a very short amount of time, for like a week or two. He came back, and I was really happy to see him here. Like, you could tell the relationship was just different. I was no longer dealing with a grouchy man. Like, and I didn't understand, you know, I also am the more dominant one in the relationship. So he was aggressive and I was getting aggressive, you know, and I was just like trying to understand.
You 4'11", Lorena. Getting aggressive. Don't mess with me. No, I love it. And I think, and that's really important for people just in general, like when somebody's like, yeah, when you are struggling with money, it's like, it's not very fun and you are stressed out. And especially I'm sure like when you have your family to provide for, like, and so that's good that you really sat down and like wanted to get clear. And that's why, again, it goes back to like self-awareness with also your finances. And that's a big module that we go over into the Latina Lifestyle Legacy course too, financial awareness. Like even just sitting down and seeing what's your interest, what's your debt, how much, you know, and then obviously we go over like how to budget and everything and creating your goals. But if you are not, like, it's just not, like, some people like to, they don't even check their bank account.
Yeah.
And I used to be like that. I used to be like that. And now I'm like, oh, no, I got to, I check it every day.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm going to be honest, me too. I was just like, whatever, I need money. Like, I just need the money. So whatever Alfonso's going to send me, you know. And now I am really aware of what I'm spending. Like, I honestly have to constantly go back and go check. If every week for me, it's every Sunday, because my Sundays I meal plan for the week. So I know what I have to go out and get. So on Sundays, we try to go over our finances. I'm going to be honest, like with Alfonso and I, it's been a journey. Like it was really hard at the very beginning. And usually I want to say, maybe it's just Alfonso and me, but I honestly don't believe so. I think with everybody, like if you are bad with your finances, it's usually deeper. It's not really like about just money, you know, it's usually deeper. So I am starting to learn that there's like things he has to work on. There's things I have to work on, but more than anything, respecting each other's space to be able to grow and learn from it. Yes. So it's been a journey. Like it's been a journey. Sometimes we don't agree, we disagree, like, you know, but I feel like I finally mastered it. Like we just kind of went over it and it feels like we are kind of both finally seeing each other eye to eye. And there's things I want and there's things that he told me, I promise you, I'm going to get you here and you're going to help me get here. But we both have to like just have that communication always open, you know? So, I mean, it's been a journey. And
so like, what I want to know, share, like from you were at $100,000 in debt to now.
Okay. So far we paid off $52,000. Yeah, it's 52 from since last September. And I mean, look, I swear it's doable. I think everybody's like, how I've gotten a lot of questions like, how do you do that? Like, and I swear you can do it. You can do it. Everyone can do it. The first two things that you can do instantly without even bringing any extra income in, it's like you gotta rip that bandaid off. Like you have to go in your finances and really understand your numbers. Like, you know, we were living more than our means. Like we were not, honestly, like we weren't living within our means. We were always going over our checks. Like we were, honestly, I'm surprised we didn't end up losing the house. At the speed that him and I were going, I'm very surprised like he was able to keep up with our mortgage payments because our mortgage payment was pretty high. So I am very surprised I'm surprised we didn't in the past the way we were going, you know? So the first thing is just like rip off that bandaid. Like you got to start adding costs and like, where is your money really going? For us, it was eating out. I was at least eating out. I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but I was at least eating out 5 times a week. That's a lot.
And for like the whole family too. Yeah. It's not just you. It was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot. And like, it was just like at least, like, oh, okay, what do you guys want to go eat out today? Like, what should we do? Breakfast, lunch, or dinner? And like, yes, I was cooking, but I was eating out a lot more, you know? So for us, it was just like eating out and it was just dumb. Like I was spending all this money on food when I could just come home, cook it for a fraction of the cost.
And I'm a big believer on like, you know, an abundance. And I do believe, you know, there is a time where, hey, you can afford to eat out if you want, like every single day. But when you have goals, and this is where the goal, like, hey, my goal is to get out of debt or my goal is to save for a home, then okay, then you got to like priorities, or you budget all of that eating out. If that's something that's like, so, cause sometimes cooking can take a lot of time, right? I know it's time, some time versus money. And this is like a whole episode I did in my previous one. Like time is also very valuable. So I don't want to like undermine people. Like when people, like eventually, you know, when, if you want to order out or you want to, like meal order, like meal prepping and things like that. Like, I just want to say like, that's okay too. Right. But just knowing like living in your budget, but for your journey, you guys were eating out a lot. And that was like a good chunk. Or even, hey, you know, this month I'm going to eat out, but next month, or like a challenge, like a month or daily, a weekly challenge. Like this week, I'm only going to eat out three times instead of five times, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely challenging, and I just kept telling myself, like, I have to be able to find a balance with this, you know, I just have to. So that's what honestly motivated me to cook. Like, that's what actually made it fun for me. And like, it was just different. Like the food, even when I would go out and eat out, I kept thinking like we would go and grab something to eat. And like, I'm picky. I won't do fast food. I can't. It grosses me out. So if you want to take me out, I have to go and sit down in a restaurant.
Oh my God.
I know, I'm so bad. No, I'm really bad.
I mean, no, that's good. You're like, oh no, we are going to Olive Garden.
I was so bad. So I we would go and like we would spend like anywhere between $50 to $80. Mm-hmm. And like when I spent that in a week, once I was able to spend that just 1 week to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I was like, oh hell no, I am never doing this again. That food did not taste the same to me. I was just like, this doesn't even taste that great. I cook better than this, you know? And I was just like, no, this is the last time. So honestly, that's what really pushed me to be like, I'm either lying to myself and pretending that this tastes better, but to me, in my mind, it tasted better. I enjoyed it more, you know, and I was just like, I'm not doing this. So I honestly was one of the first like costs to bring down. Like I just cut it. I just was like, no more eating out. And my rule is to only go out once a week. So we as a family now pick what we want to eat. And it's just once, like we can't go out more than once a week. And the second thing that everyone can do is like the budget mom talks about something called reducing the gap. Mm-hmm. And like I was doing it a little bit before she spoke about it, but she explains it so well. The way it works, it's like you have to look at everything you're spending from like your bills, like your monthly bills, and see where you can cut costs. So even like your car insurance, shop around for car insurance and see if you can find a quote where you're paying less. You know, and you just kind of start cutting off all of those monthly expenses. And it does work because my boyfriend has this mentality that we always have to get the best. Like everything has to be like the top of the line. But when you can't afford it, you know, like you shouldn't be doing that. So we had to cut a lot of expenses and money that was going to like car insurance. We were overspending. Eating out, we were cutting all of those costs. So that's what helped us too. And you really have to get in the game plan. And you have
used to not. And this is where a lot of people, where they make money, and it's not even about how much you make, it's really how you manage your money. Because yeah. A lot of people who make a lot of money, they're still in so much debt. And it's still, and again, like you mentioned, it comes from a lot of, I'm sure, like childhood, right? Like where you're just like, oh my gosh, like I've never really made this much money, or I don't really have this much money. And or you think it's like a lack, like a scarcity mindset, like it's gonna, like you have to just spend it right away versus putting it into these buckets, right? Like paying down your debt, your sinking funds. And like I know we've been saying sinking funds, and we talk about this in the Latina Lifestyle Legacy course, and the Budget Mom talks about this, but it's basically kind of like that, those expenses that come up that really make you go into debt. Like for example, a Christmas sinking fund, right? Or a traveling sinking fund, or gifts, or any like birthdays and different things that you notice, oh shoot, like this is where you pull out your credit card and like where you get into debt. Well, that needs to be a sinking fund, and you add a little bit money here and there so that you can at least monthly or anytime you get paid, so that you have and you're ready for that trip. And so what I love about that method is like it doesn't take away, it's not that you can't have it, right? Like because there's some like Dave Ramsey, his method is very like eat arroz y frijoles for a whole year and then pay off your whole house. But it's like with her method, the sinking fund, it's like you can have it and you see that your sinking fund is growing. And then eventually Yeah. To purchase it, which I love, because I think it's important to still celebrate and still, like, you know, treat yourself, but saving up for it.
Yes. And it makes you feel a lot more appreciated. Like, I, like, honestly, I'm going to say my biggest flex was being able to pay the 40, like the 42,000 out of the 52 we paid off. We paid 42,000 in 6 months. And for me, that was my biggest flex. And, like, I was just like, wow, like, that made me realize, like, I don't even have to be in debt. I can pay off my home in a few years. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't just for people that are in debt. This yeah. is, like, it made me think, like, you know, yeah. if I, all the money I wasted, like, on dumb things, like, I can't even, you know, like, do you think my kids do, well, I remember us going to a restaurant, like, no, you know, that's not important. So I just really started to think, like, I can pay off my home in a few years, you know, and the reason why it slowed down is because for me, like I said, my kids are number one. For me, anybody that knows that my kids for me are number one. If I can get it done, and if my kids need it, it's gonna get done, you know. So my daughter actually has a speech delay, and we haven't had health insurance for quite some time, and I decided to get health insurance, and it was so expensive because I asked for a higher coverage for her. Well, since we were coming in as a family, it was for all of us. It was higher coverage because I didn't want to pay so much out of pocket, and honestly, that was like a big mistake I made, because it ended up being, it didn't cover for nothing. It didn't cover any of my expenses. So I had to make all these out-of-pocket expenses and still pay the health insurance. I was paying $1,300. And that's just ridiculous. So I decided last month to cut it. Like, it's not paying for nothing. I'm paying out-of-pocket anyways. So I am actually going to follow into the footsteps of one of the other girls in our group, Ara. And I actually just signed up for Uber Eats last week, and I am going to continue this financial journey because I told myself I'm giving myself a year. And when I saw the progress slow down, I was like, it was kind of making me frustrated because I was like, we did this. We did it in 6 months. We can get this done. And you said something to me that I thought was so amazing. Like, you said to me, like, boy, if you don't have it, like, if you don't have it, find other ways to get it done. If you don't have enough, make other ways to make enough.
Yeah, because I know you kept mentioning, okay, I need to cut this. I need to cut down this. I need to, like, you were cutting. And then there's comes to a point where I'm like, well, which is okay. But another option is like, well, what can you do to increase your finances, right? Like, and this is where, and I'm very, like, grateful that we have this incredible opportunity, like DoorDash, Uber Eats, Uber. And I used to do Uber when, like, not too long ago. And it was literally because I was like, what am I going to do over the weekend? Like, I do want extra money. I want to save for this. And it was really to, like, invest in my business and also pay down debt and everything. And it was a great, very humbling opportunity, right? It humbles you down, and it's like, but I'm like, wow, like, in that day I can cash out, and it's like, and I've met so many people, and it's like, but, and now with DoorDash, you don't need to pick up strangers in your car.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, be careful, like, every time. And I really did put myself in danger. It's pretty dangerous for a young woman to be driving, and I would do it at night, and because that was when, like, you would make the most money. But you know, I had to do what I had to do, and, like, you're doing that as well. So to me, it's just like the mindset of, like, you get to do that, and really thinking, like, it's temporary. Yeah. Like, it's like, you are going to get to a point where you won't have that amount of debt anymore. And, like, you're just going to have all that extra gap of money, right, to invest it in all your other goals.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I just told myself, like, you know, it's really not impossible. So anyone that's listening, like, you can get it done. I promise you can. It's really not that difficult. I think it's more painful. At first, it's hard. It's hard because you're just like, what, like, how, you know? And it's just so easy to get carried away. Like, I've done so many methods. Like, from the Budget Mom, I learned how to do the envelope system. Don't get me wrong, I love that system because it helped me stay within the budget. But I'm just too much of a neat freak. I cannot carry that bulky ass wallet everywhere. I've done it. I am so freaking resentful. Like, I just cannot anymore. So, I mean, I still carry it, but I just need to find a different method because that wallet kills me. It's too big. Like,
it gives me anxiety, like, if somebody takes away this.
No, really, it does.
And I'm like, if somebody takes away this wallet, they don't know that this is, like, what I'm going to be paying my gas, yes, my food.
Yeah.
And everything with versus, like, you take out $600, $500, right? Like, and you put it in your wallet and versus having it in your your bank account.
And and then, like, just, like, meal plan. Like, that's another thing, like, meal planning, like, really, if you go into the store and you have no idea what you're going to cook and you start grabbing things, you're spending about maybe, if not most, than eating now because you just buy a bunch of ingredients that you don't know what you're going to do with them, you know? And it's just so easy. Something looks good and you're like, let me grab that. Let me grab this. I'll grab that too. So I just stick to my plan all the time. I stick to my list. And when I send my boyfriend, oh my God, he goes and he comes back with things not on the list. I make him pay because I'm just like, if you do not pay, you are not suffering. And yeah, if you do not suffer, like, I don't feel like he's really learning anything from it, you know? So I have, like, this thing with him that if he goes over, like, the budget or he doesn't follow the list, like, I don't pay for the groceries that week, he does. So at first, he just didn't care because he was just like, oh, it's fine. Like, it's coming out of my wallet anyways. Like, no, your money's my money. My money's yours. So it's coming out of the same thing, like, you know, it doesn't matter. So I think it wasn't until we started to, like, really adding the cost, he was just like, oh, yeah, that is a lot. Like, I was staying within 110 to, like, 120 when he was in here. And now sometimes we go to the grocery stores and we're spending, like, 100, like, we go to the store maybe like 2-3 times, and maybe the first one is usually 100, and then throughout the week he's going, and then he sees that it's added up to 200, and sometimes he's like, oh my God, like, I don't even know how we're doing this. So I'm just trying to explain to him, like, you gotta stick to that list. Like, I know it might sound weird, but I swear, if you stick to the list, you're able to cook what you want, and, well, within that list, and you see, like, you just stay in budget. And that's what have really helped me. And there's, like, so many free resources, there's so many classes you can take, but if you're not ready, it's not gonna work. Like, you really have to be in it. And for me,
the biggest thing is getting, again, self-awareness and sitting down and looking at your numbers. So I want to go over and talk about, like you mentioned, there's a whole bunch of free resources or courses and things like that. And you were part of the Latina Lifestyle Legacy first round community and course. And this is a course that we focus on four pillars. It's goal setting, then personal development, then financial awareness, and then intentional marketing. And so I want to know, and for you to share your experience on being part of Latina Lifestyle Legacy.
Okay, so I've said this before in our group, and I'm going to continue to repeat it. You know how they say sometimes, like, oh, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time? This was the complete opposite. I was at the right place at the right time with the right people. Like, I had been praying and praying and praying for a really long time. I haven't had a relationship with God in a really long time. And I grew up very religious, very Catholic, you know, but there was just too much going on that I just kind of drifted my own way. And I started to pray like more than a year ago. And I kept praying and praying, and I feel like there was just no connection. But I just kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying. Sometimes I felt like I wasn't talking to anyone. But I kept asking God, like, surround me with the right people, surround me with the right mentor, surround me, like, in a good group, like, just please help me. So, like I said, this was the right group for me at the right time with the right people. I feel like I cannot describe this better than you creating a very safe place for everyone. Like, this group was just that. Like, it was just so safe for me to be able to be vulnerable, to be able to express things, for all of us to be able to share, and with no judgments at all whatsoever. There was just like none. I didn't, not once in the group, felt it. I didn't see a mumble under anybody's breath. It was really just a bunch of Latinas trying to overcome and like trying to better themselves and being completely vulnerable. And it was, for me, one of the best experiences in my life. Like, I cannot describe it in any other way, you know? And for that, I have to thank you, because it's really hard to be able to create something so, like, safe. Like, especially in this time, like, it's just really difficult. And you created a really safe space for everybody. And, you know, I feel like I know we don't talk, and like, I know we don't talk often, but I feel like we're connected. I feel like everybody that's been in this group, you know, with the people that, especially with the people that would show up every single week, even though I wouldn't get on the phone and talk to them, I felt very connected to every one of these girls. It was just really special. It was very, very special. And honestly, like, I would let everyone know that's listening, if there's somewhere or something that you want to do, or a group that you want to join, I feel like this is just the right place, because it allowed me to have like room to grow with being able to have the opportunity to make a mistake and not have to feel like, oh my God, I broke it. Like, that's it. It's done. You know, and it helped me remove a lot of barriers, you know, like, there's a lot of energy work I'm still doing, but this really helped me align myself with other people with my same, you know, the same goals, with the same goal to get somewhere. And it was just, for me, it was really amazing. It was really amazing.
Yay. Oh my gosh. That's like everything to me. And that was like my accomplishment, is my goal and my accomplishment is that you felt safe and you grew, and that you felt safe to, you know, not have it always like perfect. Like, we would always talk about, okay, what did we struggle with? Because along with the course, there's like we have 10 Zoom calls every week. And so that's how we were able to stay connected. And you know, everyone, like, this journey is in, and I really say, like, this is for first generation Latina entrepreneurs, really learning this path, but to know that we're not alone. And I'm very grateful that I attracted like the right people, like the people who, number one, like, they're ready to change. They just need that like support. They need that a little bit more guidance. And son, like, chingonas, all of them, all of you, literally, like, all of you, I'm just so proud of you. And like, I think one of the biggest things I also say, I'm like, okay, we all have our, like, I think we're all clear on our goals. I'm like, we need self-care. That's going to be another module. How are you going to take care of yourself? Because I was like, literally telling people, like, you need that. You're going to go get a massage. You're going to schedule it in your calendar. And there's so much, and I think the biggest thing is like the community. So I'm really grateful. And you showed up, and you, like, I think that's also what really helps being part of this, is like how much time you put it, like, in your, you invest, like, you get what you put in to it. Right. So that's also a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, I can just continue and continue, but I mean, it's just like, it was a really good experience for me. And I know that every girl that was in the group that we would go on our weekly Zoom calls felt the same way. Like, I know they did, because we all spoke about it, you know? And then it was just, honestly, it was you, like, just creating a very safe space for everybody. There's just like no other way I can describe it, because like you said, like, it just gave us room to be able to grow without having to feel guilty, without having to feel like an imposter, without, you know, just, and more than anything, it felt like good for a change to see somebody that looks like me. You know, for me, that's really important. And anything I do, I look for representation, because it just gives me like a sense of comfort. You know, like, it's not just me. So I just was really proud to be able to find a group like this. And like I said before, thank you. And every chance I get, I tell you, I'm so grateful, you know, because I really am.
Thank you. And yeah, I love that you mentioned the representation. And this is why I tell people, you know, like for example, this podcast, like there's a bajillion podcasts, or there's like whatever you want to start, you're like, why would I start a makeup line? Like, there's so many makeup lines. Why would I, you know? But it's like, there's not, like, there's only one you. And it's like, there's only one. Like, I don't really know too many Latina podcasters. And I know that it's growing, but it's not like, if you look at the top 20, there's not really a lot of Latinos on there, the top 20 podcasts. And so that's where I'm saying like representation matters in whatever your goal is. And I know that that's one of your goals, is to bring more representation in that industry, in the makeup industry. And so I'm super honored and excited to see you part of that, and also see you grow and create and master your skill, and also see you in the Vogue magazine.
It's gonna happen, I swear it's
It
gonna happen.
will.
So.
It totally will. Well, thank you so much, Lorena. I really enjoyed this interview, and there's so much value that you brought. And where can people find you?
So I have two Instagrams. I have my professional Instagram, which is my makeup one. I have been building content, so you're gonna see me pretty soon. My Instagram for that is Lorena Ines, INESMUA at, well, Instagram. And my personal one, it is Lorena Ines, but there's a period between the S and the E.
Okay. Well, we'll link it down in the description, and y'all can follow her and reach out to you. Or maybe if they have any questions on how they can also improve in their
Yeah.
financial journey. I have also mentioned, we were saying like in the Latina Lifestyle Legacy group, like, girl, you can help people out with their debt journey, because that's another side hustle you could do. Because so many people, like, you have that testimonial and you have proof that you've been able to do it. And even though you say you're not good with numbers, but you're good with financial numbers. And
Oh my God, that is so funny. Yeah, maybe in the future.
you're
No,
like, I'm trying to get mine.
like I said, I was like really like trying to organize my thoughts, and I was just like, wow, this can be like a book. It was pretty intense. So it was just like, this can be like a book. And honestly, for the first time, I was like, I think I can do something with this.
I
Like,
think you can be a motivational speaker. You're really good at storytelling. I really like how
oh
you
my
story.
God.
I feel like you like take people, like you're very patient with how you speak, and you take people through like a journey. And then I'm just like, what is she gonna say? Like, to me, you get my attention, and I'm like,
My God.
yeah, like I totally see you. You can even be like a motivational speaker,
Amazing, Reina.
write
This is the first
a book.
time I hear this.
Yes. So be on the lookout, speaking in future events. Book Lorena, she'll speak. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I hope people go and follow you and check you out. And I'm excited to see you, what you have next in your journey.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, Reina.